Everyone, to another edition of the Repair of the Breach broadcast here on RBN. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, which can be heard on what the pagan calendar states every Sunday evening between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast and 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone. And if you'd like to get a hold of us during the course of the week, you can reach us at zachdaniel@yahoo.com. That's two K's for Zach. Daniel with no S at yahoo.com. And tonight is the second moon, 14th day in the scriptural time. And the pagan calendar, everyone gets so scared about the so-called tax date of April 15th, the so-called tax deadline. And actually, I think they've put it up a couple days, but April 15th, they talk about that as being a tax due date. When you look at the DVD that I believe Mr. Russo did a great job directing and putting together, there is no law that, even man's law, there is no law. When all man really has statutes, and we're not to bow down to any statutes, whether it be a written form, as I've stated many times, or it would be in an erected form of an idol. And so, in fact, Freedom to Fascism is a tremendous informative DVD that clearly shows that there is no law of man, even. It's basically through contract, I believe. The only way they try to enforce it through signature and contract, but that's really something that's unfortunate for many people. And speaking of that word, unfortunate, there's so much paganism in the words through the corrupt language, the Tower of Babel, that we all are just basically accustomed to using, maybe indirectly and unbeknownst to many and us as well. But the word unfortunate, I've been doing a little study on the word fortune and unfortunate and so forth, and it's quite revealing. It took me to a text in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. We'll get to calls probably around the 20 to 30 point of the hour. And but anyhow, this word fortune, I studied it out a little bit and found a few times in Scripture, even though we know this was an insertion by the monks monkeying around with the manuscripts, as we've talked about many times. When you think of the word fortune, you think of money, mammon, you think of the word basically accumulation. In Isaiah chapter 65, and Yeshayah 65, Isaiah 65, it states right here, "But you that forsake Yahweh, that forget my set-apart mountain, that prepare a table for fortune, and that fill up mingled wine to destiny." Get some research. The actual term fortune here and is a deity by the name of God. Now, hold on a minute. You might say, well, Zach, isn't that going overboard? No, absolutely not. I studied this text. I went back to a bishop's Bible. This was put out in 1568. You can go online, check this out for yourself. I think you'll find it quite fascinating. The Bishop's Bible came out in 1568. You can go to e-sword.net, 3ws.e-sword.net. It's a free online Bible software. There's scores of Bible translations, and Bishop's is one of them that you can download. And it's for free, e-sword.net. And it says in the Bishop's 1568, the same text here in Isaiah 65:11, it says, "But as for you, ye are they that have forsaken," well, it'll say the Lord in the King James, the Bishop's, in the Geneva Bible, but the original had YHWH, as you know, or Yahweh's name, instead of Lord here. But nevertheless, it goes on to say that as for you, ye are they that have forsaken Yahweh and forgotten my holy hill, ye have set up an altar unto Jupiter, but with an I. There's no J in this 1568 Bishop's Bible. Of course, the J didn't come till later on. But it's quite revealing because instead of the word fortune being here now, the word Jupiter, he's speaking of the planet Jupiter, the Greeks called it Jupiter, or excuse me, the Romans called it Jupiter, but the Greeks called it Zeus. Now, there's a text in Acts 7:42 in the Renewed Covenant, with Kadoshah, what many more commonly called the New Testament. In Acts 7:42, it states that the Almighty turned and gave them up, speaking of those who practice idolatry. A lot of the children of Israel went into idolatrous practices, but Yahweh gave them up to it, you see, through their disobedience. He allowed them, he turned them over. He said, "I will choose your delusions," in Isaiah 66, the next chapter, 2 Thessalonians. States that Yahweh states to them, because they received not the love of his Torah, his truth, he gave them up to worship the host of heaven, or he sends them a strong delusion to believe the lie and be damned, because they received not the love of the Torah, or his law, his commandments, judgment, testimony, statute. But here in Acts 42, the Almighty Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, and this is actually found in the book of Deuteronomy, where he states, did you offer me, Yahweh states, slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your deity Remphan, or G-O-D, Remphan, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now, look at all these other translations. The terms Jupiter are not in the Geneva Bible, and that's 1587. The Geneva translation came out, took the word Jupiter out, in Isaiah 65:11, the Bishop's Bible had it, where it says he being the Almighty Yahweh, he says that they have forsaken him, they forgot his holy hill, and they, instead of worshiping him, they set up an altar to Jupiter and given rich drink offerings unto the planets. Now, in Acts 7:42, the Almighty said that he was giving them up to worship the hosts of heaven out of the book of the prophets in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's exactly what the church world is partaking of. And it's not just the church world, the world in general, period. Astrologers, what people ask, what sign are you? I mean, it's all about the hosts of heaven. And this is what Yahweh has promised to those who have rejected his ways, that he would do, and he would give them up to worship the planets. He would give them up to worship the sun, moon, and stars, the planets, you know, Jupiter, Saturn. Right here, Acts 7:42, he references Saturn. He calls it the star idol called Remphan, which is another name for the planet Saturn, which was another name for Kronos, which was Kronos meaning chronologically first in order, first in time. It was first in line. Hence the term Saturday, or the day they call Saturday, was dedicated to Saturn, or Satur, actually, because you don't pronounce Saturday with an N, do you? But yet, in Isaiah 13, it talks about a goat head, or a half-goat, half-man, which was the universal symbol for Satan, was a satyr. Satyr was a half-goat, half-man. And when you start thinking how the days of the pagan week have been changed, many want to say that the Sabbath is Saturday, thinking that Constantine changed it from Sunday to Saturday. What they don't tell you is that Sunday was day two on a pagan false time system, false pagan week, and it was day number one, that being Kronos or Remphan or Saturday, that was day number one. So he moved day number one, which is still a false pagan day of the week anyhow, by the way, misdirection, to day number seven. That's how Saturday became the false seventh day of the week, and how day number two, Sunday, became day number one of the same pagan false week system that we all have to deal with. But nevertheless, this is prophesied in Scripture to those that reject his commandments, Yahweh's commandments, judgments, testimonies, and statutes, have turned their heart from the Torah, the law, the first five books in your Scriptures. And for those that say, oh, I don't need to follow the Torah anymore, then you don't need to carry the Scriptures around, because that is the Scriptures. That is, I'm not saying that the New Testament isn't Scripture. I believe it is inspired, but it's going to be under the subjection of the first five books found in your Scriptures. You can read Isaiah 8, read verses 16 through about 20, 21. It'll tell you, speaking of the Messiah's disciples, that if they spoke not according to the testimony or the first covenant, the first testimony, which was the law and the prophets, which is the first five books, as well as all the writings, Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Ezekiel, Daniel, et cetera, if anything contradicted or that was purported to be said or written down by them in the New Testament, the apostles, the Messiah's disciples, then you knew that the monks was mucking around those texts, and that all of a sudden that what they purported, they being the Roman empire that basically created the Roman Catholic Christian church system that purports this pagan calendar from January through December and Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. All this paganizing was being christened, and hence they became known as Christians because they christened everything from pagan roots and heathen worship. And I know it firsthand, being a former pastor of a Christian church, and it was non-denominational from the stance of being not affiliated with any so-called organization. But when you look at the word denomination, just to touch on that as an aside, I talked to a frontline prophet Funk earlier this evening, and he said, "I don't call them denominations. I call them denom damnations." And I kind of got a chuckle at that. And that's true, because a lot of the denominations today, I won't say a lot, I'll just say all, now the denominations today are still following the host of heaven. And when it comes to worship, they worship on Sunday. They worship on Easter, which we touched on that last week. And another aside, the word Easter was in the bishop's Bible in Acts 12:4. And then in 1587, the Geneva Bible came out, and it took the word Easter out and put the word correctly Passover in. And then in 1611, King James put the word Easter back in there. And then, of course, all the other English versions after 1611 got it right again and put Passover. That's what the apostles were celebrating. But Easter was a pagan feast that we talked about last week that was dedicated to Ishtar or Venus or Isis and Esther or Ishtar. It was the planet Venus that was for it was a sexual fertility rite symbol. That's why you have the Easter bunnies we touched on last week, representing the sexual fertility rite. But it was all dedicated to the hosts of heaven. All of these pagan feasts, Christmas, Easter, and when you look at the text that we started with tonight, Isaiah 65:11, that whole chapter from verse 1 all the way up details a nation in the last days, in the end time, as well as their time. It was kind of a dualistic purpose there, meaning related to that time as well as the time in which we live. But I do believe clearly that this text is a prophecy, that Yahweh was speaking to a nation that people were seeking him, but not calling him by name. Very powerful scripture in Isaiah 65, the whole chapter. Clearly defines the United States of America, clearly, and all the other English-speaking countries, for that matter, in the world, that they would speak, call upon him without ever referencing him by name in mass. And he refers to them in verse 11. He says, "You are they that forsake Yahweh for God." And that'll say, in your King James text, it'll say, "for that troop." But after further review, Jupiter was in there originally, which was another name for God. You know that? The term God goes back to Jupiter, or the planet Jupiter, or Zeus, or Dios. Okay? And you can reference this out. Look up in a Strong's Concordance. But I strongly encourage you to download this Bishop's Bible. Go to edassword.net. You got to, for free. It doesn't cost nothing, like I stated. You can get this for free. And research this out, because that Bishop's Bible is probably one of the oldest English translations of the Bible or the scriptures you're going to be able to get that I'm aware of. Might be something sooner, but I know there's John Wycliffe in 1384, but those are hard to find. But if you go back to the older English text, you're going to get a little bit more of an accuracy of what was really being said, I believe. I'm beginning to look at this Bishop's Bible more carefully. And this whole text is speaking about a people that would refer to the Almighty but not address him by name. Why, it sounds so familiar. It sounds like this country, doesn't it? In God We Trust, they stamp on their fortune, don't they? They stamp it right on their money. And he said, you can't serve Yahweh and Mammon at the same time. You can't serve Yahweh and then try to refer to him as, quote-unquote, Mammon or fortune or, you know, destiny or fate or luck, because that's what this whole thing, the term God, represents. It's a spirit. It's a spirit when they say good luck, God bless. Again, folks, it means the same thing, because there was a deity by the name of God. It was a Babylonian deity. In fact, it actually says that in the Strong's Concordance. It just tells you. It comes right out in Isaiah 65:11. It says here, for the term, I'll read out of the King James, but ye are they that forsake Yahweh, that, well, L-O-R-D, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop. Well, that text, or the word troop in that text in Isaiah 65:11, it's Strong's number 1408. And I'm asking you to look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But it's actually pronounced God. That troop is really a pagan deity by the name of, quote-unquote, G-A-D. It was pronounced G-A-W-D, which is the same thing for our G-O-D in English. And it was right here, Isaiah 65:11. In fact, this is what the commentary of the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary says. It says, quote, speaking of the word troop, it's actually meaning God, or rather God, the Babylonian deity of fortune, the planet Jupiter, answering to Baal or Baal or B-E-L. The Arabs called it the greater good fortune. And the planet Venus answering to many, or the lesser good fortune. So good is the same thing as God. God is the same thing as good when it comes to these terms and phonetics. It was a pagan idol. You know, it was just a matter of fact. Now, I'm not trying to prove this. It's just clearly what history tells us. And yet Yahweh says that in the end time, the people that forsake him are the ones that forsake his name for God. Now, that's exactly what we're facing here. The beast system, again, is two-pronged, religious and political. Religious, controlled by the Vatican. Political, still controlled by the Vatican. But through Britain, through their commerce here in this country. And when you realize that the Masons refer to their so-called deity or top pantheon as God, and the Christians refer to their top as God, they're all in the same bracket. Some know it, some don't know it, with all due respect. Because if you're speaking these same terms that the Vatican gave for you to follow, their system, then, like somebody said, you know, you're a part of it, whether you know it or not. And it's really something that the Father says in the end time to come out of her, my people, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith Yahweh, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you to myself. And so when you look at that is prophesied in Amos about this pagan deity that was a planet that they worshipped called Saturn or Remphan. In fact, there's a text in the book of Amos that talks about, I think it's Amos 5:26 or Amos 6:11 or 12 or a combination of both there, where it talks about that they would forsake Yahweh's true Sabbath day and try to synchronize it with their pagan Saturday, or they would worship Remphan. And that's exactly what Saturday represents. Saturn representing Satan, or the goat head, or half goat, half man, the universal symbol of the Shaitan or Satan. And that they would try, that was basically Satan's day. And what is the most, out of the pagan work week, or the pagan work weekend and the pagan weekend, out of all the days of the pagan week, wouldn't you say that Saturday is probably the most rambunctious day of the week? Yeah, I think you'd have to agree with me on that, wouldn't you? Yeah, I think so. So then why is all the commotion, why are all the so-called most evil acts are committed during that time called Saturday? Why? Why? Because that day is dedicated to Satan, without a doubt. Sunday, obviously, is dedicated to the sun. Monday was obviously dedicated to the moon worshipers, strictly. We don't worship the moon or sun or stars. We just use them as timepieces. But those who worship the moon had a day they named after the moon called Monday. That's how you get the word month from the moon. And pagan months, January through December, don't use the moon, as we've taught in this broadcast. But yet they want to still call them months. They're quasi, they're color, color months, color of months, but they're not real months, not using the moon. And, of course, Tuesday was dedicated to Tiu, T-I-U. Look that up and do a search on it. It represented the pagan deity of Mars, or which was the planet Mars, which was a deity of war. March, you know, they wanted to march in their wars. And then you had Woden's Day, or W Day, or Wednesday. And it represented Woden, W-O-D-I-N. Of course, Thursday was Thor's Day. That was the son of Zeus, or Jupiter, actually. That's how Thursday came into the terminology. It was really Thor's Day. And then Friday was for Frigga, or Freya. That's why they had the fish fry on Friday. You know, those that say, well, you know, I'm a fisher of men. The Messiah made me a fisher of men. That's what, you know, the symbol of that fish on the back of my car, the emblem on the back of my car, that fish symbol, and has J-E-S-U-S in the, you know, all in its circumference. No. That symbol from the fish symbol goes back to Dagon, and the name J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, E-A-S-U-S in the Greek, Strong's number 2424. Look it up. Check it out. Verify it. Strong's number 2424 in the Greek text pronounces it E-A-S-U-S. And if you look up those names within the name of E-A-S-U-S, you'll find many names. And in the book of Revelation, it talked about a name, more than one name, actually. Names full of blasphemy, this harlot church system would produce for their followers. Those protesters as well would still be linked up to them because they would still use these same terms. With all due respect, such as Lord, God, Jehovah, Jesus, Christ, Easter, Christmas, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, etc., etc. These are the terms that the beast system set up that for those who would protest or say they're not a part of it anymore would still be forever linked because it's just because it's such a habit that you're still following and yet not even realizing you're under subjection, because if they created the definition, they control it. If you yield to their description and you use it, whether you like it or not, you're still following their creation for you, because you can only control that which you create. You can't create something you didn't, or you can't control something you didn't create. And so if they created it, those false descriptions, then that's how they control you. And yet Yahweh, the Almighty Messiah, stated that he's come to set us free from tyranny and the control mechanisms of man. Man was never meant to subject his fellow man to himself. We were always to be subject to the Creator and to Him alone. And that's why he said in the book of Romans, he says, know ye not that to whom you yield your members to obey, his servants you are to obey? It's through contracts and yielding to acquiescence of not really just being concerned, and you become apathetic and lethargic, and so you don't do anything. You just go along to get along. We'll be right back on the Repair the Breach broadcast on RBN. I'm Zach Daniel. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
On the Repair of the Breach broadcast, RBN here. I'm Zach Daniel, and we're talking a little bit about the text in Isaiah 65 tonight, where it says, speaks to a nation of people that forsake Yahweh for quote unquote God, G-O-D. And because the term God was a pagan deity or a name of a pagan idol, it was found in, again, in the book of Isaiah 65:11, that troop was a Babylonian deity, and it's Strong's number 1408, and it'll say that troop in the King James, but many other texts will have G-A-D there, and it's actually pronounced G-O-D or G-A-W-D, And it says here in Strong's 1408, a variation of the Hebrew number 1409, fortune, a Babylonian deity. So it clearly says from Strong's to Jameson Boss commentary that G-A-D or God, is pronounced God, the Babylonian idol of fortune, and it was also known as the planet Jupiter. And so the Bishop's Bible, we have found out, as we alluded to, clearly had the pagan name of Jupiter, or what they called the planet, which was the Romans called Jupiter, the Greeks called him Zeus. No wonder they've tried to masquerade or take the true Messiah's name out over 7,000 times, the Almighty Messiah, Yahweh, and try to put him or try to equate him with or try to refer to him as God, which goes back to Jupiter and Zeus. And no wonder they try to use a name that goes back to Iesus or Azeus in the German language. They call him that. And then, of course, the Romanian Croatian Bible call him Isis, I-S-U-S. And the Latins would say Jesus. So the Almighty said, don't take my name in vain. In other words, don't wipe my name off and replace it with something else, and then no less replace it with pagan idols, pagan deities. It's just 7,000 times in Scripture the name of Yahweh was taken out, and that's why you see Lord or God or Jesus or Jehovah in your Bibles. And so you've got all these Christians that, even these Christian theologians will acknowledge that, yeah, he had a Hebrew name, but they just go along to get along because they don't want to lose their following. And the Father's calling the people out who are his remnant children of Israel, part of his kingdom, who are not going to be hoodwinked any further. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to get out of the system, so to speak, the church system altogether, and get out of the control mechanisms of the beast and stand up for the kingdom of Yahweh and take a stand for righteousness. And with that, we'll go to a caller. We got Joseph in Texas, and what can we do for you tonight? Welcome, brother.
Hey, Zach. This is kind of on topic, but not really. I was looking at Revelation 19, and it's at the marriage feast of the Lamb, and then we're going up to I guess verse 10. Do you mind if I read it here?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. And I fell to his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, I'm also speaking in King James Christianese, so just so.
Okay. Right, okay. We understand.
See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So I guess what would be the Christianese interpretation of that, and what would you say that's saying?
Well, we know that those names, as we've talked about many times, were never there in the original Hebraic Renewed Covenant. And for those that think that the New Testament or Renewed Covenant was inspired in Greek, we can be rest assured that it was not inspired in Greek, because the text that you mentioned, if you read all throughout that book of Revelation, you'll see many words or many sentences starting with the word and we've talked about this before. That in English, you don't start proper pronunciation or proper grammar. In fact, Dylan could probably concur with this as well. You don't start a sentence in English with the word "and" to be properly in proper grammar. Same thing with Greek. But yet, you see many sentences start in the New Testament with the word "and," showing one indication. It's just one indication of that the original was in Hebrew. And so the Word was the Almighty in John, Yochanan 1, where it says, and the Word was with Yahweh, and Yahweh was the Word. When he said he had a new name, and his name was the Word of G-O-D, well, we know they didn't have the word G-O-D originally in there. or the name G-O-D in there at all. But to answer your question, why don't you rephrase it so I can kind of get a better gist of what you're asking?
Well, you get into the thing with the name again. Like you get, is it Jesus? Is it Yahweh? Because it says he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And then it makes a reference to the Messiah. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Right, or the Word of the Almighty.
Right, well,
Exactly. So that no one knew, you see, and that's predominantly the case today. I mean, generally, when you look at the percentages of those who truly know his name versus the percentages of those who don't, I mean, it's pretty mind-boggling, especially when you look at the whole church world, for that matter. I mean, a lot of them don't know his name. They'll say, the closest thing they'll say is hallelujah, and then they'll just kind of like, well, you know, go back to the mixing of some error, a lot of error, with some truth, and still refer to him as J-E-S-U-S and, you know, G-O-D, L-O-R-D, when we know Lord goes back to the word Baal or Baal. And then there was a pagan deity that referred to Baal as Baal God, B-A-A-L, and then hyphen G-A-D. Look that up. Type it up. You'll find it right there in the King James. And so now if people are referring to him, and that was his arch enemy, that was the creator Yahweh's arch enemy, was Baal or Baal. And God was a Babylonian deity. So to refer to him as, you know, those names would be definitely disrespecting him, whether it be people doing it unbeknownst to them or not, it's still what's happening. And yet the Almighty's answered many prayers in spite of people's lack of knowledge. I mean, he did mine, I'm sure he did yours, he did many others. But it's not going to cut it in the end. I've said this many times. It doesn't make it right just because we're referring to him with pagan names, because in the end he says, I never knew you. Many are going to come to me in that day, and they're going to say, and they're still going to refer to him in Baalistic terms. Many of them, that's all they've known him. And then they're going to have a rude awakening. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, do we need to prophesy in your name? But they're going to say, you're going to say, hold on, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of Torahlessness. You were teaching against my Torah. You were working Torahlessness. You were teaching it was done away with. And I didn't know you because you didn't know my name. You didn't know me intimately enough to even know my name.
When it's saying Lord, Lord, is it used?
It probably wasn't in the original, obviously, to refer to the Creator. But we know that there are people that are going to still refer to him as such.
No, I meant the verse you were talking about, where they, you
Matthew,
know,
what's Matthew 7:20?
Yeah, when he says Lord, Lord, is he literally saying that, or did they didn't transviolate? In other words, he is saying, hey, you know, you're calling me Lord, Lord. He's repeating. In other words, he's using their term for him.
Yeah, he's basically saying, this is what they're going to say to me. You know, because this is all they've referred to me as, these Baalistic terms. That this word Lord means Baal, and he said, I didn't know you. You didn't even know my name, you see. And that's the issue. But then they reiterate and they say, but did not we prophesy in your name? And see, now they're questioning the name they called him, Lord or God or Jesus. Wait a minute, we saw these miracles. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Wait a minute, we're here being judged now? We're not going to make it? And now you're saying, you know, in mocking to us, because he said, in that day I'll laugh in your calamity. He said, they're going to prophesy. Didn't we prophesy in your name? They're questioning the name now they are realizing was wrong that they used during their lifetime in reference to him.
It's kind of like when Peter said, not so, Lord. or if you're Kenneth Hagin, he should actually claim that he argued with Jesus, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, really. Anything else, Joseph? I'm glad you called, man. I hadn't heard from you in a while.
Well, yeah, I guess another thing, another thing I would get out of it is you'll get the people that they have the Trinity thing, and it seems to say it's one person, not like a Trinity, so to speak. Because this is the person that has vesture is dipped in blood. So, you know, I mean, but how, you know, I mean, if there's a Trinity, I don't see how it could be. It seems like it's talking about one person rather than, you know, two different big G and little G.
Well, that's, you know, again, a part of the deception is when they started inserting The terms were, you know, they would say stuff like, grace be unto you from G-O-D and the L-J-C, you know, the L-O-R-D-J-E-S-U-S-C-H-R-S-T. I mean, you know, they don't understand that the Almighty Creator Yahweh came in the flesh as the Messiah. And this is where a lot of people get tripped up. They start thinking that you've got to worship two. But they'll say, oh, no, we only worship one, but we worship the Father and the Son, when in reality the Father is manifested in the flesh as the Messiah.
You also say the Father had to separate himself, you know, like, you know, when he was on the cross, that he couldn't look at
right,
him. He had to be separate. Some people actually say he's spiritually died on the cross, you know, and all that.
Well, someone said to me, you know, you're saying that the Almighty died. I'm saying his spirit never died. It's just the flesh and blood. He came in through his loving kindness for us. Because without a death, there couldn't be a resurrection. So, therefore, he created an entrance for us into his kingdom through the resurrection, the promise of resurrection. Because he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I mean, without him laying down his life for us, this is his sovereignty coming into play. And he, in fact, Isaiah 26:19 and Isaiah 7:13, it's speaking of the Almighty, the Father, Yahweh, saying that your dead body, speaking about all of us who are in the resurrection with him, he said, your dead body shall rise with my dead body. This is the Father, the Creator, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, the four Hebrew letters of the Creator's name, stating that our dead bodies are going to rise with his dead body. People say, well, the Father never died. Well, that's right, his spirit never died, but his body that he came in as the Messiah did die. And without the death, there couldn't be a resurrection. Except the corn of wheat, he said, fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. That's why he promised us that resurrection power, the hope of eternal life with him and his kingdom by his death, burial, and resurrection. Without it, there would be no hope. We'd be still doomed. But thank the Father, he brought salvation through his own flesh and blood. His own word became his own flesh. The word became flesh. And his name was the Word. And Yahweh, you know, is the name, revealed name in his own word. So, anything else, Joseph? Man, I'm glad you called, bro.
Yeah, I kind of missed the beginning of the show, so I don't know what the topic was, but I remember.
We'll give a chance for someone else. 800-313-9443. You want to call into the Repair the Breach broadcast? Here, I'm Zach Daniel with Joseph here in Texas. 800-313-9443. Welcome to call in, give a question or comment. Or a thought, not screen calls here. And what else did you have on your mind tonight, Yos?
Oh, just I don't know why I'm doing this, but some JWs came by, and I thought I'd have them come back. They were coming over last week, but, I mean, they stopped over. I didn't know they were coming. And I'd rather be ready to have some stuff ready for them rather than them getting some plain mumbly peg with the Bible. So.
Yeah, speaking of the JWs, I, in fact, spoke with two of them. And they said to me that Yahweh was indeed a more accurate pronunciation than Jehovah. In fact, they even showed me it in their publication. And I'm like, I'm scratching my head, and I'm saying, then why are you guys call yourself Jehovah's Witnesses? And they said, well, because people are more familiar with that.
Well, these guys.
I said, okay, so forget the truth. Just go ahead and go with your tradition, right?
These guys weren't maintaining that, but I didn't really have time to go into them. I just told them it was like, I think it was 16-something, Peter Salinas, or I think it was the guy's name, coined the term Jehovah.
Right,
you know,
right.
Was it Pope Leo or somebody?
Yeah, Pope Leo, and he commissioned, I guess, Peter Galantinus to come up with the pronunciation of Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, the four Hebrew letters, YHWH, for the pronunciation, and... Actually, it's Yahweh, but what they did was they took the vowel pointing system that they got from the Babylonian captivity, you know, the word Adonai, and mixed it together with YHWH and came up with this hybrid linguistic monstrosity of a pagan name, Jehovah, which goes back to Jupiter, which we talked about earlier at the beginning of the broadcast, and pretty much the theme of the broadcast is this text in Isaiah 65 where Jovis Pater, or Jupiter, and that's why the term, the English term, when they say by Jove, J-O-V-E, that's how it gets Jehovah. Jove is a short form for Jehovah. Jove is also a term for Jupiter, a short form for Jupiter. and the Romans called him Jupiter again, that planet, and of course, the pagan deity. The Greeks called him Zeus. And all throughout this text, in Acts 7:42, Isaiah 65, read Jeremiah 16:19-21, Yahweh says, in the last days the Gentiles are going to say, we have inherited lies from our fathers and things that, profiteth nothing. And that's exactly where a lot of these, we got, okay, Joseph, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you calling. We got Kenneth in Florida, and welcome to the Repair of the Breach broadcast.
Good evening, Zach.
How are you doing, Kenneth?
I'm doing fine. I enjoyed the show. I listen to it, and then I go back and I listen to the archives, and I try to keep up with you. I've got a you put me on to a program called I think it's called eSword. It's an electronic downloadable Bible and
eSword.net. Yeah,
right. And then I also could go to another website. I think it was called the Christian Edification Center, and you can also download other versions.
Yeah, that's a good source, too.
Yeah, and so I keep up with. Listen, I want to ask you a question, and perhaps it's off topic again with what you're speaking of tonight. There's a guy that preaches a lot. It's a father and a son. When he's not there, the son preaches, and he sounds a little bit like you, but he still uses God and Jesus and all the
you mean the Christian Catholic names, you mean?
Yes, right.
Yeah, right.
But he says that the lost tribes actually crossed the Caucasus Mountains and came into parts of Central Europe and around in there. Have you ever heard this? He said that during the lost years, or what we know as the lost years of, he calls him Jesus or Yeshua, that he went to Glastonbury, England. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not. What's their names?
He said Murray. Is it Charles Murray? He's out of Arkansas.
Oh, Arnold Murray. Is that
Arnold,
right?
Yes, and he's on satellite, and he's on the Internet. And,
right, I'm familiar.
Oops.
Get the feedback there.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if you were familiar with this concept of Glastonbury, England.
Well, it's a British Israel teaching, and I really just can't accept the full thing with what they're saying. But I do believe, though, that a lot of Ephraim are a lot of those European nations, without a doubt. And obviously, you got Britain, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and you can get to Germany, Spain, you can go into Portugal, you can go to all these countries, and a lot of them are indeed Ephraimites. The whole Christian world, for that matter. I mean, you look at Hosea 7:8. We've talked about this many times, where Ephraim was a synonymous term for Yisrael and the house of Yosef.
Uh-huh.
And Ephraim has mixed himself with the nations. The coat of many colors Yosef received from his father, Yaakov Yisrael, yet red, yellow, black, and white, and brown, representing the pigmentation of the skin colors of the nation. And, then there are those who try to say then there's a Christian identity where, it's only going to be the white race that is the true Israel, and really they're still caught up in Christianity, with all due respect. I mean, they're still using the Christian terms.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And it's not about race anymore. It's about grace. The Messiah broke down the middle wall partition and made us one new man. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. If you reject the Messiah, you ain't an Israelite. Simple.
Right.
But,
I got two more questions. I know time's running short. What about this fellow named E.W. Bullinger? What do you know about him?
The name sounds familiar.
He did a commentary on, they call it the Companion Bible.
Oh, okay.
And this guy Murray's always quoting the Companion Bible and telling you you ought to get a Companion Bible and the commentary by Bullinger and all that. But I noticed it was kind of strange. It says on Wikipedia, it says that Bullinger was a close friend of a Zionist named Theodore Herzl or somebody. I think that was.
That might be.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be flippant. When God spoke to himself and he said, let us create man in our image,
okay.
I'm satisfied he wasn't speaking to himself in King James.
Well, we know he wasn't talking to King James. He wasn't there, but we know he's counseling all things after his own will, like Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. And when he says, let us go down and confound their languages, later on when he confounds Babylon or Nimrod, the king of Babylon, he wasn't talking to himself. He was talking and counseling all things after his own will and with the angels, because the angels went down and confound their languages with him. So when he said, let us make man in our image, he wasn't talking to another person for you to worship. He was basically referring to making man in his own image, not in their images.
Yeah.
You see where we're going with this? You see?
Right. But I guess the point I was trying to get to was, When God made that statement, was he speaking in Hebrew? Or what language? Or do we have any way to know? Or is there anything that leads us in a direction that what language he was speaking?
Well, we do know this, that he understands and knows all languages. In fact, he was the one that confounded their Hebrew language and made it all separate, different language. That's why they couldn't communicate and continue on building. But we do know that Abraham was speaking, or Yahweh taught him Hebrew. You read the book of Jubilees and Jasher, and some of these books are quite revealing. And we have to always keep in mind, anything that would purport idolatry in a dualistic sense, that, okay, Yahweh's talking to another person known as his son on his right hand, literally, when it's really a right hand of power, a right hand of It's a figure of speech. It's a Hebrew idiom. It has nothing to do with someone standing literally on your right hand, or let us make man, and he's talking to another person to worship. He's counseling all things after his own will, and he's referring to angels who also came in the form of men many times, but the Almighty's not an angel. When he came in the flesh as the Messiah, he wasn't an angel then either, never will be. He created these angelic beings as he created man in his own image, And I hope that answers it, because I know we got about a minute or two before the podcast. Anything else, Kenneth, quickly?
No, I understand time is short. And listen, I will mull this over. And like I say, I listen to the rebroadcast on the archives, and I go back and study as much as I can.
Just remember this. Anything that would make you worship more than him, or make you think he's, allowing us to, to worship another, he's not going to do that. We know that would be a monkeying around with a manuscript, but we're just not understanding the text is really what it comes down to. So just, keep praying, and the Father will show you. Read Isaiah 43:10 and 11. It's quite revealing. Yahweh says, I alone am your Savior. I know not any other. If we think that there's more than him, or know any other more than him, then we're trying to say we know that there's more than him when there's not. But thanks for the call, Kenneth, and
calling in.
Great insights, as always.
Okay.
And, folks, if you're tired of the gas prices, just off as an aside here as we close the broadcast, boycott Exxon. Don't just say, we're going to take one day and we're going to boycott buying gas. Keep buying your gas, but stop buying Exxon gas and Mobil. Just stop buying. It'll drive down the gas prices, folks. Buy anything you want, just don't buy Exxon Mobil. And there's a trucker's thing going down, the boycott, 23rd, 24th, 25th of April, starting at noon. Go to republicbroadcasting.org for more information. The Sabbath, the Shabbat's coming tomorrow night to the following night. It'll be Monday evening to Tuesday evening for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Shalom till next week. I'm Zach Daniel.
Your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order.